All right, let's see where we're at with that. I'll take a moment. Let's have a dream tonight. Oh yeah. I'm not sure if I'm broadcasting to anything right now. Seems like SDF. Is down even more. Wow. Let's see if a non-radio. Oh, non-radio is alive. I guess I should continue to broadcast. Let's see if it's broadcasting. You're listening to the Wednesday meditation. Yeah, there we go. So it is broadcasting, but there's no way, nowhere to chat about what's going on. All right, let me start some tea and I'll be right there. Even Beastie, the OpenBSD server is out. That's quite a lot of server to be down at once. Interestingly, I assume Emma Meta might be still up. Let's see. Huh, no. Well, I guess it's up. My key change. I won't be playing around with that. SDF has been under attack for a while now. And now we can't even chat. So, meditation. I just woke up from a lot of dreams, and I invite anyone who can to work with their dream. What does it mean to work with your dream? Well, first you need to be aware of your dreams. Just placing my pop filter here. Okay, that's better. One step at a time. So, by working with your dream, it's like having a friend that has a bit of a different understanding of reality. So, dreams are, for me, something that can sometimes predict the future a little bit. If something really intense is happening, it will. I will have a bit of a feedback through my dreams. If I dream, if I don't dream, sometimes I stop taking care of my dreams, and then I don't have that potential, that sidekick, that other part of me that can help in realizing what's going on. Let me just pour some tea. So your dream can become an ally in your spiritual process. And I had a recurrent dream. I was missing my plane, or we were like a few hours or, you know, half an hour before the flight, and I'm still not ready. And the volume seems a little low. Let me just... I'm a little... Oh, that's a better voice. All right. I'm a little low too, in the sense of my voice, just waking up. So when a recurring dream happens, I normally try to give more attention to that dream, writing about it, and also reflecting the sensations in the dream, which often helps point toward really what is happening. I need a bit of water. Sorry. So there is this concept or this idea of multiple dimensions, and I'm not too sure what to make of that. Is there really multiple dimension? I mean, there is first and second and third dimension, but are there more dimension? And I know I kind of jumped from dreams to multiple dimension, but the wisdom that I get from the dream seems to be coming from a place where time and space is kind of a little different. And yeah, when a practice out-of-body experience, which is somewhat related to dreams, it seems that my consciousness becomes a different dimension. I don't know. I'm not anymore in my physicality, and there's this kind of freedom of going around the universe without physical limitation. So what I'm trying to say here is that the dream give access to a different type of wisdom that is not accessible in my waking life, and that is and that wisdom is not limited to the physicality of three dimension, I guess, and not limited by time, meaning that I often had dream about the future, of things that will just, you know, just happen sometime right then, sometime in a few weeks. So because I was presented with dreams like that, that would tell me about the future, very silly things sometimes, not like, oh, here's, you know, this gonna happen. I don't, well, for example, I dreamt about the tsunami in Thailand because I was planning to go to Thailand. That was my goal. I was saving money for it. I was planning, making time, making space for it. And I kept on dreaming of being on the beach or in the building and having that huge wave coming my way. And I was just like, what is that wave? What is a wave? What is the ocean? I was really looking into the symbolism of thing. And I kept on dreaming about that. And then what happened is I went hiking and I fell in a river and I almost drowned. And I was just, oh, the big wave that I dreamt about was me almost drowning in that river. So I kind of like, case closed, let's move on. And then a month or two later, the idea was for me to work during the summer and then go to Thailand, save the money and go to Thailand. Because I was studying Thai massage and Malaysia and Thailand was really calling me for some reason. My teacher was from Malaysia, one of my teacher. Anyway, all these things were kind of made me want to go there. Anyway, and then so, yeah, bad dreams about tsunami. Fall in a river. I'm like, okay, case closed. The dream was telling me that I will be falling in a river. And then, of course, the dream stopped there because my plan for traveling also stopped because I lost my passport. I lost a lot of thing in that river. I almost drowned and my bag opened. And then a few, like a month later, something like that, I see these image of the tsunami. And then I realize, I had the same feeling, that same sensation. And then I was like, oh shit, I dreamt about the tsunami. So things like that really kind of started to make me wonder about the power that we have in our dreams. I mean, I didn't, you know, dream about 9/11. I don't think so. I was too much partying at that time to remember if I had dreams about that. But other things happen in my dreams. Deceased friend would come and visit. And with a very, you know, personal touch, not like I'm dreaming about somebody who died and that's just because I'm, you know, missing that person. But more like I'm interacting with this person who passed away, you know, a few days, a few weeks ago, and that person coming, and then me finally telling them, by the way, you know, you're dead, you passed away, you know, a few weeks ago in Japan, and for that person to finally be liberated within the dream. So we can also say, you know, it's just a dream, blah, blah, blah. But for me, because there's been these experience again and again and again of different things, dreaming that, you know, I dreamt I was eating bugs and I was like, oh, that's kind of gross. And I wake up and I go about my day. And I have that bad habit of, when I buy a can of maple syrup, I just like open it up and I drink directly from the can of maple syrup. I was living by myself. Well, even if I wasn't living by myself, I would just grab the can, drink some maple syrup. So, you know, go about my day and then I start drinking maple syrup like that. And then I'm like, well, the maple syrup is quite crunchy today. And then I was like, I wonder if it's this little crystal of maple syrup that's been formed in the can, which happens. And then I'm like, I don't know, it kind of feel weird. And then pull it out. And then I, you know, start spinning these little crystals and I realize I'm eating ants. There were ants stuck in my maple syrup can. And I was like, wow, I just dreamt about that like hours ago. And, you know, these are just like memories, stuff that came up in my dreams that I'm remembering this morning. And but again and again and again throughout my life, dreams have been really potent, telling me stuff happening. I dreamt about, I had blood clot stuck in my lungs, and I dreamt about that as well. I dreamt about just many things where it's not like a question of, is it real? I'm just like, well, it happened too many times in my life for me to not listen to my dreams anymore. So after many, many years of observing my dream, doing lucid dreaming, doing out-of-body experience, analyzing my dreams, I came to realize that my dreams are quite a helper. They're there to support me. And if something is going to happen, then I will, you know, dream about it. I had a dream one day that I was in a car accident. And there was a big vehicle, a big truck, carrying these trees. And so I had that dream. And then the next couple of days or the next day, I was driving. And then right in front of me, there was this big truck. And I was kind of stuck in traffic between the big truck, which was carrying trees, and then other small vehicles behind me. And I was just like, well, you know, I dreamt about that. Like, I'm not going to just stay there. I'm not going to stay behind that truck. So I just kind of moved to the side and then waited for the cars to pass. And then my now ex-wife was like, what are you doing? I was like, well, kind of dreamt about this and not, I don't want to, I don't want to test it. I don't want to be like, well, let's try and see if I'm just going to die in a car crash. So it kind of, I changed my life because of what I dream. And yeah, so when dreams happen, I'm always kind of like, what's going on there? And it's really nice. It's dream world is so fun. My daughter is just dreaming more these days and she's like looking forward to go to sleep so she can dream more. And I'm like, wow, that's really fun. I'm happy that I've helped her, or, you know, I've always asked what the dream she's doing, and yeah, just kind of make sure that dream world is kept alive, because as we grow up, dream world becomes a little tired. It's like, well, dude, you're not listening. Why would I do anything about your dreams? And that's a funny, I make it as if it was an interaction between humans and dreams. But I truly feel that personally, where if I take care of my dreams, they will be more potent, or they'll come back more to me. I think it's a natural law of things. I just heard a little while ago, money is a bitch, and if you're not giving her attention, she's going to be, you know, really mean to you. And it's this idea of like, you know, do you know what's in your bank account? Do you know how much you spend a week? Do you know how much you spent a month? You know, if you don't know what's going on with your money, you're going to suffer from that. And just this kind of relationship, if you don't have any relationship with money, if you don't want to look at it, if you're like, there's money in my bank, I just use my card, I don't know how much it is, but I always hope, you know, I have enough. If you don't look at it, then it's just going to not work for you. And it's kind of a silly comparison, but it just feels like often in life, the thing you don't take care of or you don't look at end up not working for you. And it's the same thing with dreams. If you don't look at your dreams, If you find it silly or it's useless. And that's the thing. In our culture, there's so little that we talk about dreams. I mean, if you look at, from TikTok to YouTube to movies and TV shows, you know, it's not, people are not talking about dreams. It's not part of our culture. It's not, there's little here and there. And, you know, we see a movie that there's a bit of a dream in there and people are like, wow, this is so great. But you don't hear that very often, like TV shows, like, hey, what did you dream about? Oh, that's a dream I had. Oh, that's kind of cool. This is what I dreamt about. Like, we don't do that in classroom, you know. Hi, kids. Anybody had dreams? Who wants to tell a dream? You know, stuff like that. We don't, it's a huge part of who we are. It's a huge part of our life. It's like we spend half of our life freaking sleeping and we just like don't talk about it. Like, as if it was not part of who we are, like as if we're shy about it and we just kind of, you know, don't talk about dreams, you know. And therefore, a lot of people, you know, in their midlife will not be dreaming it, will not be dreaming anymore. So how do we start to dream again? Well, listening to me talking about dreams is it's a good start. And then we can discuss more about dream. Today, oh no, I'm not here. Oh, I was about to say that today I could do a, one thing that could be fun is a, let's see if I'm really not here today. Okay. I was about to say, well, let's do that another day though. There is, right after my meditation, my talk, there's an open mic, and then that's going to be 9, 10, oh no. Yeah, let's, maybe we can do that on yesterday, or next week. There's a show slot that is called Open VOIP, and we can call in, and I'll try that to see if people want to do that, but we can talk about dreams and dream analysis. It's always fun because it's been commercialized as here, buy a dictionary for your dream and then analyze your dream with that symbolism. And even as a kid, I'm always amazed as a kid how I saw the world and had some judgment about reality. So very young, when I saw that the goal of society was to go to school, go to work, retire, die, and then in between you buy a house, a pool, and a dog, you have kids, and that's it. I had a knee-jerk reaction of like, no fucking way, this is not the life I want to live. This is not, nope. And so far so good. This is not the path I've taken, and I'm really happy. Anyway, all that to say that when I was a kid and we had Dream Dictionary at home, and I was like, no, this is not like, I did not like how impersonal the dream dictionary was. It was like, well, if you dream about a dog, this is, you know, what it is. And I was like, no, my relationship with dog is not what is written in this dictionary. It was so different. And then some symbols were just like, you know, if you dream about this, it means that. And I was like, no. But it got me going and researching and thinking about it and observing my dream and seeing if it had a relationship with my daily life. So I think, you know, having a dream dictionary can be interesting, but it really depends on, you know, the culture you live in. If you dream about a house, you know,
it's what's your relationship with house? You know, if you're a homeless person, your relationship to a house will be quite different. If you've lived, you know, in the jungle for your whole life, and a house is, you know, a building that when you go to a building, it normally means, you know, you're in trouble or you need to take some legal action of some sort because, you know, 99% of the time you're in the jungle. Anyway, symbolism will be very personal. And so analyzing dream, I can help people to analyze their dream, even if I don't know, you know, their culture or their persona and things like that, because I rely on kind of the relationship between the symbolism. So you will not just dream like, I dreamt about a house, here's a symbol. It's more like, I wasn't home that felt like my childhood home. I mean, it wasn't the childhood home, but it felt like it. And I was like, okay, now there's a feeling, there's a symbol, there's a time frame, this childhood time. And then if people remember their sensations within the dream, then you can start having a better understanding of what the dream might be telling you. And the dream has of this kind of wide scope of what it could be telling somebody. It's not just like, you know, something bad's gonna happen. It's not just like, you know, you have to be careful about this or that. It can be many things. There's emotion or a movement toward healing, though. So it's a dream is not going to be like, you're a bad person. You're a bad person. Just like don't even try anymore. And that's the thing to remember. I did a few dream class and people were like, oh, my dreams are telling I'm a bad person. I was like, no, that's not what the dream is about. So that's one constant that, you know, if you are doing dream analysis, it's not like, oh, dreams is telling that I'm a bad person and I should just end it or something. It's it's surprisingly always on your side and actually helping. That's a funny thing, though. Why is that? Why is that the dreams is always on your side? Like, anyway, I have no idea. I have no idea why. Anyway, I think the self-loathing or, you know, the not liking yourself is kind of a mind thing and not like a dream thing, right? It's just, anyway, there's something to keep in mind. The dreams is not there to tell you, you know, you're a bad person and you might have the cue of like, oh no, you are going toward your own, you know, tsunami. You might be going toward a tsunami type of thing, right? It's like, you know, that's what's happening, you know, and that's your goal right now. Well, you know, the tsunami is going to come up. And so you might get a cue that something wrong might happen, but it's not like, oh, you're such a bad person and bad shit is going to happen to you. It's more like the decision that you're making now might get you to a negative experience. So, yeah. How do I go about analyzing a dream? There's so much dreams that happens that I tend to not sit down with all my dreams. The Ishodra Ashram, the school that I did my teacher training for yoga, they offer a technique there to analyze your dream that is very, very thorough, very nice. It's a very nice mix. It's very unique as well. And the idea is to create pretty much your own dream dictionary by analyzing the symbol that comes up in your dreams and trying to find, you know, a deeper meaning. And it requires you to write about your dreams and underline the symbol, and then defining these symbols and defining, you know, what's your conscious concern, you know, what do you have on your mind that you went to bed with, for example, and kind of trying to see what's the next step with that. So it's you end up writing a lot, right? And it just becomes quite, you kind of end up with a lot of material, because when you start doing that, then there's more and more and more dreams. And it's good. It's super good. I think everybody should do that for a while. And then at one point, you have to find a different technique. For me, anyway, I can't be writing, you know, a couple of pages of dreams every day and taking an hour every day for analyzing my dreams. It's awesome. And, you know, you might start dreaming that you're actually spending too much time dreaming, and you should start living. Anyway, so that part of the dream analysis, I think it's good, and I think it's also, it has its time where you learn to interact with your dream. And at one point, you know, after a couple of years of doing that, I think there's less and less of writing and getting all the symbolism out and all that, and more of a, this more interaction with the dream, where you start to understand a little more what's going on with the dream, and therefore you don't need to you know, write so much. I mean, it's always fun, but at one point, it's a lot of material. And that's why I personally like to have a multiple approach to the dream technique. The Ishvara Yoga School, they don't talk, or they don't practice, or they don't teach about lucid dreaming or out-of-body experiences and all these other practices you can be doing in your dreams. You straight up can just meditate in your dream if you want to. You can straight up go back to your past and relive event in your life that you would like to react differently to. You can, you know, straight up talk to people who you've lost and say the things you've always wanted to say to them. So there's a lot of psychological and spiritual practices that can be done in the dreams. This school doesn't do that, and even advice against it, where controlling your dream would be kind of sacrilegious, or like not a thing you want to do, because then you can't listen to the symbolism of your dream. But if you're dreaming a lot and you have all these dreams all the time, there's plenty of time where you're not going to be lucid dreaming, where you're not going to be controlling your dream, where you're not going to be doing other things than just listening to the dreams. And for me, to not go in these different avenues would be a bit of a waste of the dream land. So for me, it's good to approach a dream with different approach. So if you're lucid, then you do some lucid practice. If you're not lucid, then you use the symbolism of your dreams. You know, I don't think anyone can be lucid all the time within their life and the day and the night. So even if you're doing lucid dreaming, there's going to be dreams where you don't reach lucidity. And that's kind of normal. And therefore, you'll always have that wisdom of the dreams that want to send you a message, even if you're lucid dreaming. There's no way really that you're going to obliterate the whole dream world by being 100% controlling your dreams. That's, you know, I don't know. If you are 100% aware all the time during your dream and daily life, and that's make you completely control your dream, then you're in a elevated state of consciousness already, and you might not even need the dreams anymore. Anyway, so do what you need to do, but I think it's nice when you have multiple multiple practices for the dreams, and analyzing the dreams is always really interesting. So let's do some open VOIP during the next week or tomorrow or whenever. And I'll try to connect and then have, maybe once a week analyzing your dreams, and I can analyze my dreams, or whoever wants to jump in or write in com. Com is the chat. Oh, is Wow, SDF is really down today. Yeah, all the servers. And do we see how many people? I don't even see the listeners there. Anyway. So, talking about dreams. Let me make more tea. In order to dream more, there's many things to be done. If you stop dreaming and you don't dream anymore, you have to kind of restart the process. And so we stop dreaming for many reasons. One of the reasons is that we become unaware of our own existence. We become simply a cog in a wheel of our life, and we just kind of zoom through our life, and therefore we're not connected to anything. So kind of a phenomenon of dissociation. I think it would be kind of the early sign of dissociation if you don't remember your dream anymore. It's very light. I mean, a lot of people don't dream anymore, so it's not like, oh my god, I'm dissociating. It's more like, well, most people do, but it's kind of a early symptom of not being connected, you know, because then it's like you're not connected to your emotional body, you're not even connected to your physical body. You know how we avoid pain by taking painkiller as soon as something is happening. And, you know, it's important to feel the pain a little bit, not too much. But if there's a pain in the body, as soon as there's a pain, you take a painkiller, you're really kind of cutting out the voice of your body. And if there's a continual pain, it's important to go check it out. But, you know, some people would rather just take painkiller and not having anyone to look at it. Anyway, just that's kind of a part of dissociation. And then the dream is you know, even, you know, early on before anything like that. A dream can be annoying because it brings back emotions and sensation. And I think some people will just cut off from the dream because of that. They're like, nah, rather not. Sorry, water is boiling. And the same thing happens with emotions, right? If you have a lot of emotional stuff that you haven't dealt with, you just want to, you know, pack it up behind something and not deal with it anymore. And so then the dissociation continues, right? If you're taking pills for the pain, and you might be drinking alcohol or taking drugs for the emotions, or you don't even have to take a substance to dissociate, but then, you know, it becomes really hard to have dreams if you're not in touch with your emotional body, or if you're not in touch with your physical body or your nervous body. And, you know, if you keep on burning out because you don't have that connection with your body. And I mean, I've burned out in the past, and it took me many years to realize what is it to be, you know, in a nervous breakdown or a depression or kind of a physical nervous system kind of shutting down. So it's not easy to stay connected to the body, the mind, the emotion. We kind of are invited through the medias, to social networks, through everything, to kind of run away from any of that. And it's kind of culturally acceptable. It's culturally the thing to do to avoid the body, the mind, the emotion. And therefore, the dreams are really kind of low in the ladder of things that are important to be human. And that's really unfortunate. And it makes it also very hard to get back into the dreaming, because if somebody's not dreaming, you can't just go like, well, you know, start dreaming. Because there might be a lot of underlying things happening that... That would need to be looked at before the dream. So, you know, are you in touch with your emotions? Like, when was the last time you cried and you enjoy crying? Enjoying crying, it's kind of a sure sign of, If you enjoy crying once in a while, it's a good sign that you have some emotional intelligence, or you have a relationship with your emotion. Crying will feel good. Often, I mean, if you're always crying, it might not be a good sign. But if you never cry, that definitely has something to do with disconnected with your own emotional body. I was in a martial art competition this weekend, and oh my God, the kids fighting and to their limit and freaking crying and just like keeping on, like wiping the tears over their eyes so they can see better and they can keep on fighting. And I was like, oh my God, this is so great to have a place where people can really push their limits and just cry and just kind of go for it. Anyway, that's one kind of crying, but also in other ceremonies, or using psychedelic and getting to a place, an emotional place where there's grief that needs to come out, and then crying comes with it. Anyway, just saying that if somebody is not in touch with their emotion or their body or their nervous system, the dream becomes like quite deeply hidden within one's life. And in order to get back to that, kind of have to get back to a physicality of the, you know, relationship between the mind and the body and the emotions and all of that. And then the dream slowly might come back. Some people dreams, even if they're dissociated with their life, that's, you know, it's not a sure case, but that's what I've seen in the past with students that wanted to get back into dreaming. They were not connected to any part of who they are, and the dream, you know, the dream was pretty far under all these layers. So there's no, you know, there's no easy way to bring back the dreams. It's you have to start writing. Or creativity is a very good tool for dreaming. Anything that will break away a little bit that automated life that we try to create. You know, if you're working 9 to 5, 5 days a week, and you always do the same thing during your work, and you always do the same thing during your weekends, and you have a very scheduled, comfortable life that doesn't ever go out of track, that might kill your dream for sure. Substance abuse as well. I know that smoking weed doesn't help with the dream for most people. Or if you take medication for sleeping, that also might not help with the dreams. And it doesn't mean that you have to dream every day to have a relationship with your dream. Some people have like once in a while a dream, and they're very potent and powerful dreams. And it's kind of actually nice, because then they don't need to look at, you know, 3 hours of dream every night where you're like, what the heck? And then it becomes kind of hard to weed out all the dreams that you're having. So if you have a dream every month or every season, it's kind of cool. And then, you know, you take care of that and then you write it and you honor it. And then it will kind of become part of who you are. Dreams have that kind of vibration. I find that it can influence your life on a long time. It's not just a one, you know, if I dream a lot, then I'll be quite influenced by my dream. But even if I listen to one dream every season, it might actually shape my relationship with the dream. Sorry. Quite sniffy and coffee this morning. Coffee. I don't know if I should have coffee. Anyway, so getting back to your dreams, if you can. That actually feels good. getting back to your dreams, if you're not dreaming, now that I've talked about dream, if you've been listening to this show, you might dream tonight. You'll be like, oh yeah, dreams. And then so bringing back the dream will help. And reading about different dream technique, one book that I really loved was Castaneda, Carlos Castaneda, Power of Dream. Let's see. The Art of Dreaming. Yeah, so people do say good and bad thing about Carlos Castaneda. They say it's all bullshit or this or that. And sure, whatever. I read that book. I did some of the practices. I had beautiful different dreams, different doors of the dreams opening. And so whatever it is, there's technique there that will help for more dreaming. So reading about dreams, awesome way of dreaming more. Carlos Castaneda, The Art of Dreaming. The other books, there's a few books on Tenzin Rinpoche. Tenzin Wangyal Rinpoche. He has a beautiful book on dream. I was so excited to realize that the Bon tradition or the Tibetan tradition. That's his first book, actually. 1998. Tibetan Yoga of Dream and Sleep. Awesome book. It was so good. The Tibetan Yoga of Dream and Sleep. Yeah, when I found that book, I was so excited. Anyway, and then The Reality of the Dreaming Mind. So that's Swami Radha. That's another book. And The Realities of the Dreaming Mind. And that's the practice of dream yoga in the reflective, in analyzing your dreams. So within these three books, The Art of Dreaming, Carlos Castaneda, the Tenzin Wangyal Rinpoche, the Tibetan Yogas of Dream and Sleep, and The Reality of Dreaming Mind, you really have kind of a very wide reading list that touch to a lot of the different aspect of dream. Swami Radha's book, The Realities of the Dreaming Mind, it's really interesting because it touches a lot on psychology as well, and that's really important too, to look into the work of Carl Gustav Jung and other, into the symbolism and the archetypes that comes up in your dreams. So I totally find this is a very good foundation if you're just to read one book about dreams. That's a really nice one where... it's very approachable, where the shamanistic or the Tibetan dreams, you kind of have to do a lot more practices, but it's a very nice to know about all of these different technique, and then it might happen in your dreams. Yeah. I haven't found a book about out-of-body experience and dreams. I had one, but anyway, that's another subject that might be interesting because, yeah, there's a lot of out-of-body experience that happened during the dreams, and it opens a whole door, so it's also nice to have that other chapter. I mean, you can look at the work at Monroe Institute, and he writes about out-of-body experience, but it doesn't really relate it to the dream world. And yeah, I'm yet to find an easy or a book that talks about that relationship. The Tibetan dream yoga, they kind of talk about it, but they don't. It's interesting. Out-of-body experience is really a modern term for something that is happening a lot in the yogic and the Tibetan and the Buddhist perspective. But they don't, of course, they don't use that word. They're talking more about kind of dissolving into consciousness, or anyway, in Taoism, the alchemy of Taoism, they talk more about that, but they don't talk too much about dreams in Taoism, as far as I know. Anyway, so reading about dreams will definitely create that, writing about it, writing your dreams, talking about it, and maybe we'll do a open VOIP so people can call in and we can talk even more about dreams. So a couple more minutes. Yeah. For me, when there's a recurring dream, this dream about an airport and then I'm missing, it makes me be more aware of what's going on in my life. What am I missing? And then I look into the physical sensation. So I'm missing, and it's kind of, it feels in my stomach that I did something wrong. And then I look into my daily life and see when that's happening. And then I kind of go, well, maybe it's about this, you know, and then I'm kind of looking, okay, maybe it's this relationship that I'm fear of missing. And then I'm like, well, maybe I should just chill out about that. And then, so I make decision loosely around what my dreams are saying, and I see how my dreams react to that. So it's kind of a guide, but that doesn't talk very well. Stop doing this. It's kind of a way to navigate my life and go about things. And if the dreams are very traumatic, I tend to go like, well, okay, you know, what's going on? If the dreams are more like uncomfortable and kind of tense, then I'm like, okay, there's something, you know, that I should kind of tweak within my behavior. And of course, I mix the dream analysis with also journaling. So writing about my life and reflecting about my life. And that, of course, influences my meditation. When I sit in meditation, a lot of what's happening in my life comes to the surface, and I have to sometimes just make a decision. I was like, well, I'm doing this in my life. That doesn't feel right. I should change this. And then I take note about, you know, where I want to go. And therefore, I can go in further to meditation. So, yeah, at one point, it becomes all blended, you know, what comes out of my meditation, what comes out of my, you know, psychedelic experience, the message I get through my drug journey, my psychedelic journey, resemble a lot of the dream world. And then everything becomes more dreamlike. And I think that's a very important power of being human.